industry on parade. A pictorial review of events in business and industry, produced each week by the National Association of Manufacturers. Here's a postman in Hamilton, Ohio, although it could be any town, delivering one of the outstanding publications in the country. It's called The Log. Never heard of it? Well, that's possible, for The Log is a company employee publication, one of 5,000 sponsored by American business firms. This one is published by and for employees of the Champion Paper and Fiber Company. It's edited by a young veteran named Stuart Jones, who directs the assembling of interesting, timely news and features, not only from the Ohio plant, but from the company's Texas and North Carolina plants as well, keeping in contact with division editors in those states by direct telephone lines. Lee Dolman is the division editor at Hamilton, and with his staff he covers by means of words, pictures, and artwork all activities among employees that will prove of interest to their fellow employees. Although it has the easy, friendly, familiar style of any good employee publication, don't be fooled. These young people turn out a professional job that could be envied by many commercial magazines. For example, they have a method for pasting up the dummy pages that tells them at a glance how the work is progressing and what the book will look like when it's finished. Copy goes to the linotype operator, who sets it in type by machine. Editor Jones insists on maintaining the highest standards all along the line. One reason The Log has won highest honors for company publications. Also, a reason why the magazine has done such a good job of promoting better communication between employees and management that the State Department distributes The Log in foreign lands to help explain the American way of life. We all prefer to read about our own friends and people we know, and if that reading helps bring greater mutual understanding, it's as beneficial as it is entertaining.
A Sun Chemical Corporation plant, this one at Clearing, Illinois, largest ink producer in the United States. Let's go down and see how they turn out the thousands of tons of ink needed to supply the thirsty presses of magazines, newspapers, and other publications. One of the basic ingredients here to be processed is rosin. It's dumped through a hole that leads to the pulverizer, where it'll be transformed into a fine powder. By conveyor, the rosin goes next to a kettle, where it's mixed with oil and subjected to heat that converts the mixture into fine rosin varnish. Another rosin used is gilsonite, which will improve the flowing characteristics of the finished product. And in the making of printer's inks, dozens of different mineral oils are blended in. They're handled by a maze of pipes, more than 7 miles of them, all converging on this spot, where the mixer can select whichever he needs for a particular formula. Last of the basic ingredients is carbon black, most opaque black pigment yet developed. Actually, it's nothing more than soot, like that which comes out of your chimney, except, of course, that it's been purified. The mixture, now complete, is subjected to Sun Chemical's own special processing and is discharged into an open tank, from which samples are taken to make sure the batch contains all ingredients in precisely the right amount. Then it goes back for grinding and other processing, after which it's tested again for uniform viscosity, density, and other characteristics required of the ink for modern printing presses. Finally ready for shipment in quantities ranging from 55-gallon barrels to 10,000-gallon tank cars, it goes out directly to the printing plants or to service stations maintained by the firm at strategic points around the country. So when the word comes down to roll the presses, there's an ink at hand more than adequate for the tremendous output of literature of all kinds in this best read, best informed nation on earth.
Whenever we go to shop these days, we find that our money is worth about half of what it was in 1939. In the last dozen years, our 100-cent dollar has slowly melted until today it is worth only 54 cents when we go to spend or save it. This is inflation caused by cheap money. Now, the way to strengthen our dollar and stop further inflation is for our government to balance its budget, to cut all unnecessary spending, and to raise every cent of money essential to run our government, including the defense effort, by adopting a sound tax program. Sound money means a strong and free America.
A soda fountain crew busy making up orders for customers in the familiar paper cups and containers. Sanitary, attractive, disposable. Eating sodas and sundaes and drinking beverages out of such containers is nothing new. But dozens of uses that are new are being found for them every year at plants like that of the Lilly Tulip Cup Corporation at Augusta, Georgia. From the paper mills, the high-quality stock arrives here and is hustled inside to start through a maze of processes that will transform it into amazingly tough containers, waterproof, heat-proof some of them, and in designs suitable for just about any purpose you can imagine. The paper is printed with bright decorations and stamped out in one continuous operation. Shaped and sealed, they're dipped in a bath of paraffin. Other containers, those to be used for hot foods, for example, are not paraffin, but instead are given special treatments of their own. Only efficiency like this makes it possible to produce containers so inexpensive that we can afford to throw them away after using them only once. The containers are given frequent inspections at every step in the manufacturing process. While in the Lilly Tulip labs, raw materials and finished products are put through rigorous tests to make sure they measure up to ever higher standards. In days gone by, a paper cup served its purpose if it held a liquid long enough for you to get it to your lips. But that's no longer true, and paper has had to keep up with, or ahead of, such revolutionary new developments as frozen foods and restaurant take-home service. Restaurants that find many of their old customers no longer dining out, whether because of the attractions of television, the arrival of young children, or whatever the reasons, have been turning to take-out orders as an extensive, practically untapped new source of business. Casserole dishes are especially popular for those who eat out at home. Here are some meat pies being prepared during the chef's slack hours. The casseroles are made of paper, but into the oven they go. Here's a young business wife in search of a nourishing but effortless entree for a husband who'll be home almost as early as she is. She'll get a hot or cold meal that's prepared, taken home, and served in paper containers that need no washing or wiping. People in the trade say it's the biggest thing to happen to the food service industry in years. Out come the pies with a crisp, flaky crust and the insides bubbling. But the containers are not even discolored by the heat. Just one of the ways in which we are putting paper to work in serving us pure foods and beverages. Whether it's out on a construction job, or in a factory. Whether it's the in-plant meal for workers or the shopper's snack, more and more we turn to the well-known paper container that seems to be growing more useful every day.